Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
The Menendez brothers could be free by, well, November something. There's going to be a hearing in which the judge could, in fact, commute that sentence and say, look, you've served enough, you are now free. He could also say, yeah, I love that you got all this publicity, but you're going back to jail. We will find out. The family of Lyle and Eric outside of the L.A. County District Attorney's Office this last week pleading for their acceptance, pleading for their freedom at some point in time here, saying, look, they've served enough. They've been through a lot. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Siobhan, a lot of us have seen the documentary. A lot of us have seen the Netflix movie that the brothers weren't too happy about. They don't like their portrayal in that, and probably rightfully so. It was very Hollywoodized version of their story. But if we are to believe their story, which I think a lot of us are more and more, that we see the evidence, we hear them in their own words. I went back and I watched the trial, and I watched their testimony. It's very compelling. I mean, I don't know how we looked at this so differently in 1993, but we did. These truly come across as authentic individuals who, they did what they did. They probably have regret about it now, but didn't see much of a choice. Should these boys find freedom, these young, not young men, they're in the middle age, they're 50-something. Yeah. Should they finally get freedom after enduring what they likely did from Jose Menendez, spent their time now in prison, should they be free to live the rest of their life the way they choose?
I think the consensus in society at this point is they've done their time, and that originally the manslaughter conviction would have been more appropriate than what they ended up with. And it's one of these awful cases. As I've said before, we like our good guys and bad guys to be in neat little categories. And there's a lot about their behavior that made it difficult and made the optics bad. You know, it was the spending the money and the seemingly playboy lifestyle, looking at it superficially. But the trauma and the bigger picture really should have been understood better and addressed. And yeah, I could certainly see a very good case for letting them out at this point. Now, I do have a little bit of a concern that I don't know has been addressed. I haven't watched all the documentary yet. But one of my concerns, you know, we're saying that the murders of the parents was due to their PTSD reactions and their fear. But one thing that went on after that did concern me, and I would love to sit down and have a conversation about it, and that was the threat against the psychologist, that if he disclosed anything about the murders, that they would kill him. And I don't think that quite fits in the PTSD realm there, because he had not victimized him. They weren't in any imminent danger from him. Yeah. And so that's something that it just left me with a question about that. What was the thinking going on at that point, and how did they justify that?
Yeah, I mean, I know that the PTSD angle has been argued. I don't know if that's truly what happened in terms of it being PTSD or just being two people who wanted to take justice into their own hands and say, you're done. We've done this for too long. Mom stands behind you. She's aware of what's going on. I mean, that's pretty sick in itself to have like your champion that has been there for you by your side, but still looks the other way when the person that you should also be able to trust is molesting you. I mean, that's pretty messed up. And yeah, I guess if that's going on and you're wanting to seek retribution, you probably got to go too. But the thing is, we're talking about a crime, a sexual crime here. Do people tend to lash out in more extreme measures when it involves a sexual crime versus, you know, somebody stole something from you, somebody did something non-sexual that was a violation of your rights or your stuff or whatever it may be? You know, sexual crimes come with a lot more passion and sometimes violence as well. is that what maybe motivated this to go as far as it did, because it is such a personal thing, because it does have such lasting, damaging effects that would be far worse than, you know, dad cutting off their allowance or their inheritance. But because he damaged them so deeply that it scars that they'll never truly be able to completely repair?
You know, it's a hard one to call, because I think the vast majority of times victims do not lash out, even when the crime is sexual, when it's gone on chronically, which made this case unusual and rare, and why it got so much news. It was the wealth of the family, people that were respected, you know, supposedly in their work and in the community. Beverly Hills, my gosh, you know, you just didn't see crimes happening there. And the murder of parents by their children is very rare, particularly when it's both parents. Yeah. So it's not something, I don't think we have a lot of data to say this is something that typically would happen, because it was just a really rare event. Yeah. When a parent is murdered by their child, it's either because the child has gone psychotic and is having delusions and hallucinations and doesn't know what they're doing. And that's probably the most common reason. And then the secondary reason is usually because there's been extreme abuse in the home. So, and not always sexual. So it's hard to say.
We are in a culture where believing victims is very celebrated. And I think that that's probably a good thing. I think we should always take a close look at victim statements to make sure that they're real, because because we're in the culture doesn't mean people don't lie or make things up. But we do often see it, especially in terms of females talking about the abuse that they received. If this had been Erica and Layla, would we be having the same conversation?
I would think not. I would think that back in 1993, there would have been at least more willingness to accept that, you know, this kind of abuse happens to females. We've certainly had more conversations about that over the years. But then again, there's also the thought that women are not supposed to get angry and act out. So there could have been some harsh consequences just because of that. It's like women are not supposed to do this sort of thing. So it's really hard to get into the mind of everybody who's going to be on a jury and know what kind of biases and prejudices they come in with. I mean, we try to do that up front, but you know, there's a lot that we can't control. So it's a good question.
It's a weird dynamic, because I mean, I think it's we're very quick to believe a female accuser of something, and a lot more hesitant to believe a male accuser. I don't know if it's because a lot of males don't necessarily come out with accusations. Yeah. So it's more foreign, and we don't have, I guess, the reps in it of like, oh, okay. And it is more questionable. What's your thoughts on that? Why is it that we tend to pause a little bit more with men who come out and say this sort of stuff versus female as a society?
I think it's changing. I think we're seeing a much more awareness as it's talked about more and more and coming out as you're doing in the media and talking about it. I think there's a greater acceptance than there used to be, and men are more apt to disclose now than they used to be. But it also has a lot to do with the type of person. You know, that's why we think that the Gilgo Beach murders went on for so long, because the person was targeting sex workers. Yeah. And people typically don't listen to sex workers, don't care about what they say, and believe that they set themselves up for it, so they got what they deserved. So I think we're seeing a lot of cultural shifts about it, which is a good thing.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.